Okay, children can be dismissed. For the children's church this morning, Brother Ryan's raring to go, man. I've been holding him back for a few weeks, so he's raring to go. Well, the rest of us turn to Exodus chapter number 25. Exodus 25 this morning. I've been meditating and reading through Exodus. Brought it out last week in the frogs, if you'll remember. But now, Exodus chapter 25, just kind of to fast forward, the people of Israel had been set free from Egyptian bondage. The frogs and all the other things, finally the death of the firstborn, Pharaoh had enough, and with a strong hand and by the blood of the lamb, they had been set forth. You remember Exodus chapter 12, the blood, the Passover blood was shed, and it was put on the doorposts, and they came through on by the blood of the Lamb. They were delivered by the Lord through the dried up Red Sea. And the Bible is very clear that after the blood had been shed and then the deliverance through on that dry Red Sea, you know, they went through, and the Bible says when the Egyptian army came into the sea that the flood water, the waters covered them, and the Bible says that the children of Israel saw the dead soldiers on the ground. They saw the dead Egyptians floating there. I mean, that's a picture of our salvation and our deliverance by Jesus Christ. Our salvation has been paid for by the blood of Christ. And that's a great picture. Now, they've been through. And then God gives them in chapter 20 and up to a few chapters before and after the Ten Commandments. Moses goes up on the mount, he gets the Ten Commandments, and he gets a lot of other commandments as well. In chapter 25, God tells Moses that he wants a place to meet with his children. Now this is just, this chapter 25, the very first of it, it's amazing. And so I want to park here for a few minutes this morning and talk about this fact of being a contributor or a consumer. And we're going to ask this question: is it costing you to be a Christian? Is it costing you to be a Christian? Chapter 25 of Exodus, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering. And this is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold and silver and brass, and blue and purple and scarlet, and fine linen, and goat's hair, and ram skin dyed red, and badger skin, and shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for the anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Now, I highlight my Bible, and that verse is highlighted big time, okay? This was God's idea. God said, I want to dwell with my people. Wow, that's amazing. Verse 9, according to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. I believe when Moses was in the mount there receiving the Ten Commandments, God showed him a picture of the tabernacle. And Moses took notes. I mean, God is a master builder. And he goes, listen, he spends from chapter 25 to chapter 40 giving him the details about the tabernacle, about the place where God would meet with them. He goes into detail. You know, God said a few words when he said, and he made the stars also. I mean, just a few words about God. You know, you go out at night and you look up and it's just, all he said was, and he made the stars also. But yet when it comes to a place where God would meet with his children, he spends all these chapters of telling exactly how he wanted it done. I'm going to tell you something, God's got a plan for our lives. And God's a master builder. And so we're going to walk through this and talk about commitment this morning, talk about what was given here, and talk about how that can apply to our lives. Because as them, we were bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. They had been paid for by the blood. The blood of the Lamb was a picture of the blood that would be shed for us on Calvary. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God? You're not your own, for you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." So what their blood, their salvation was purchased by the Lord. But the tabernacle and fellowshipping with God was going to cost them something. And that's what I want to look at today. What's it costing us to be a Christian? What is it costing you to be a Christian? Are you a contributor or are you a consumer? Lord, bless our time now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He says in verse 2, "Speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly with his heart, ye shall take my offering." And then the details are given, what was to be brought. He lists all these things that were to be brought. Now, where'd they get these things? It's kind of interesting where they got these things. They would got these things for when they left Egypt. The people of Egypt were so willing to let them go that they gave them a bunch of stuff. They just said, here's all this gold, here's all this stuff, get out of here. And it was really like paying them off for 400 years of labor. You know, the children of Israel had built Egypt. They built the pyramids, they built all that stuff, free labor. And so it's like the Bible says that they really, it's just like he paid them back. But what was God doing? God was financing his program ahead of time. Because now he says, okay, now I've given you something, I'm going to require it back to you. I want you to bring me an offering, and I want you to do it willingly. Because the tabernacle was going to be the place where God would meet with his people. But it was going to cost the children of Israel something. Salvation is free. Fellowship is costly. Salvation is free. Growth is costly. Every time they walked in that tabernacle, they would see that they paid for those things. Every time they walked in, they would say, "Oh, wow, look at the candlestick, that gold candlestick. I used to have a gold bracelet, and my gold, I remember giving that away. I remember giving to the Lord, and I'm going to enjoy the light of that of the tabernacle because the light was always going because of I helped build this. My fellowship is enjoyed because of I paid for." But it was what they gave them, you see. What I'm saying to you, the Christian life, if we're going to live the Christian life pleasing to God, it's going to cost us something. It's going to cost us. The fellowship, the salvation is free, but the fellowship was going to cost those people. Did you read goat's hair? Even down to the goat's hair. Now, where in the world did they get the goat's hair? From the goats. But think about this, you know. I've watched goats. I think God put goats on this earth to humor us. Goats and chickens. All right? They just kind of, both of them. There was a lot of goats and a lot of chickens in Africa, and we ate a lot more goat than we did chicken, and we ate a lot more goat than we did beef. And so I ate a lot of goats, good. By the way, but anyway, I watch goats, and but goat's hair. I don't know exactly how they got it. I don't know that they had barbed wire fences back in those days, but I do know this: that goats will get up next to something and scratch, you know, like a cow will, and then they, you know, they would, when they killed the goat and had the goat, then they would have to keep some of that hair. Even the goat's hair that was in the temple, part of the temple. If you read the temple where they use the goat's hair to cover the temple and all of that, you know, all of that covering, even that very goat's hair was something that they had to work for in order to enjoy the fellowship, in order to enjoy the fellowship of the Lord, in order to enjoy the presence of the Lord. Their salvation had been paid for by the blood of Christ. When they came to worship, they knew that they had helped pay the way, that they had helped pay the way. God required that. And I just want to submit to you today that God requires commitment. Our fellowship will cost us. Our walk with God will cost us. Our growth will cost us. Our relationship will cost us. Now think about this. If you're married, you know you have to work on that relationship for it to be what God wants it to be, for it to be a good relationship. Men, you have to invest in your wives' lives. And wives, you have to invest in your husband's life. If you're going to have the kind of relationship, it's going to cost you something. You know, it's not like you tell her you love her at the marriage altar. And if you ever, like the one guy said, she said, you know, my husband doesn't ever tell me he loves me. We've been married 25 years, and he never tells me he loves me. And told the pastor that in marriage counseling. The pastor said, what about that? He said, I think you ought to be telling your wife you love her on a regular basis. He said, I told her when we got married, if I change my mind, I'll let her know. No, you've got to tell them all the time. And you've got to invest in that relationship. If it's going to, your relationship, I'm saying, is going to cost you. If you're going to have a good marriage, your relationship, it will cost you something. And our relationship with the Lord, it will cost us something. So I want to talk to you about being a consumer or being a contributor. Now, we're living in a day and age that we are living in an entitled age where people think the government owes them things. People think the school owes them things. People think that the world owes them things. All you've got to do is take a trip somewhere. Man, you just travel around this country and you go through a couple airports and you see how entitled people are or how they think they are or how they expect to be treated and all this stuff. Well, I'm afraid this has crept into the church, so much so that we're either, there's so many consumers and not contributors. There's so many people they're consuming. They're here for what they can get out of it. For years as a pastor, I've visited people that have visited our church. And here's the thing, what do you have to offer us? What's your kids program like? What's your choir like? What's this like? What's this like? Rarely do I have a person say, hey, how can I serve that church? How can I contribute? So I'm just asking today, are you a contributor or a consumer? And I'm going to challenge you this morning through a couple things is to be an investor, not just a consumer. Many people invest very little into their Christian lives, and it shows. Many people invest little into their church. Therefore, they have no respect for the things of God, and it shows. So my challenge today is, like one of my heroes from history, Sir Winston Churchill said, you make a living by what you get. You make a life by what you give. So if you're going to be a committed contributor, there are some things you're going to have to give up. Okay? It will cost you. Number one, it will cost you your favorite sins. Your favorite sins. Go with me to Psalm 19. It will cost you. Psalm 19. Psalm 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Then he says, Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. He talks about secret faults. In verse number 12, he talks about presumptuous sins in verse number 13. David knew the cost of his favorite sins because he'd gotten into trouble with some favorite sins, right? It had cost him his favorite sins. And here he says, cleanse thou me from secret faults. There is a cost for a Christ-centered life, and that is dealing with every little sin. No matter how little or minute you may think it is, it's big to God. And if we're going to walk with God and we're going to live as a committed contributor, a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost us some secret sins. Those things that maybe nobody knows about that you. Those things that you knowingly tolerate. Those things that keep you in bondage. Those things that in your life continually grieve the Holy Spirit. Those things that you would be ashamed of if Jesus came today. Those things that you'd be ashamed of if others knew that that existed in your life. Those things that make others wonder if you're genuine. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, I don't know. Let the Holy Spirit zero in on you. But David prayed, keep thy servant from secret fault. That closet stuff. That junk drawer stuff, as you might say. Man, it's going to cost you. If you want to walk with God, you want to be a committed contributor, a person that gives to the Lord, a person that's committed in these last days, it's going to cost us secret sins. It's going to cost your favorite, those things you love hanging on to. It may be anger. It may be bitterness. It may be lust. It may be selfishness. It may be lying, stealing, laziness, pretense, covetousness, envy, idolatry. I just wrote down a few things. You say, man, he didn't say what mine was. Let the Holy Spirit do it. Hey, pray what God said. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Ask God to search your heart like he prayed in Psalm 139. Lord, search my heart and see if there be any evil way in me and lead me into the way everlasting. Listen, if we want to be committed this morning, we're going to have to give up some things. It's going to cost us our secret faults, our secret sins, our favorite pet sins. Full surrender demands dealing with our favorite sins. And I want to tell you, when you deal with it, God takes care of it. If you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. You don't have to hang on to that. You say, I can't live without it. Yes, you can, through the power of Jesus Christ. And it may be keeping you from going all the way with God. It may be keeping you on the fence. Hey, get rid of that thing so you can go all the way with the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, it's going to cost us to be a committed disciple. Secondly, being a committed contributor will cost you the favor of this world. Cost you the favor of this world. Talked about this there in Sunday school a little bit, but 1 John chapter 2, he says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. This world is in darkness. We are the light of the world. When we shine for Christ, this world will reject us because we're living for Jesus Christ, but that's where the cost comes in. Serving Jesus has cost many Christians their persecutions, their things, their lives even. There's Christians that are suffering in this world today, our brothers and sisters around this world that are suffering for Jesus Christ because they don't care what the world says. The world's going this way and they're going a different way and it's costing them. And it may cost us even more. But right now, hey, listen, you may be trying to please the world. You may be trying to favor the world. You can't serve God and the world. Well, where'd you get that? Well, Jesus said it in Matthew chapter 6. Notice that with me, Matthew chapter 6. In verse 24. Matthew 6 and verse 24. He says, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. What's mammon? Money. World. The pursuit of the world. I'm talking about the favor of the world. One commentator said, he must be content to be ill thought of by man if he pleases God. We need to teach our young people, as I said in Sunday school, that we make up our minds to be a true disciple of Christ. You're probably not going to be popular. Probably not going to be popular. You have to say no to some things. Have to say no to some things, sports maybe, parties, hanging out, kind of music you listen to. And I'll say that a lot of young people aren't committed because mom and dad's not committed in those areas. Mom and dad's straddling the fence. I'm telling you, if you're straddling the fence, your kids are in the world. If you want your kids to be separated from the world, and here's the line, you better be way over here. Because they're gonna go as far as they can. But if you're on the fence, they're in the world. They're there. And the Bible says, love not the world. Neither the things of the world. What I'm saying is, if we're going to be a committed contributor, a committed giver, a committed disciple of Jesus Christ, it's going to cost us something. It'll cost us the favor of the world. I remember when our kids started playing soccer and t-ball or whatever. I told him, I said, now, here's the rules. No Sunday games. And we told their coach, you know, oh, they said, oh, no, we don't have only makeup games on Sunday. And I said, well, our kids won't be there. I said, it's the Lord's Day. And you know, I'm not Sabbath keeping or anything like that. I'm just saying it's the Lord's Day. It's not a sports day. I said, no, it's the Lord's Day. And so sure enough, man, season got going and the kids were doing good and everything. And it rained them out and then makeup day. Oh, we need, you know, Daniel needs to be there. David needs to be there on Sunday because we got a game. It's an important game. I said, they won't be there. But Dad, no, we made a rule. We made a rule. You see, what was I teaching? I was trying to teach, instill in them some convictions about you. The world is here and it's always going to be plying to get your attention from from serving Him. And that's always here, folks. It's always, the world's always tugging at us. But if we're going to be committed to the Lord, we're going to have to say no to some things. We're going to have to say no to the favor of the world. Being a surrendered disciple will cost us time. It'll cost us talents. It'll cost us tithes. I just like T's, three T's, right? Time. Full surrender means God has everything. Our time, our talent, and even our wallet. You know, when those people went into the tabernacle, they knew, they could see that what they had given was being used. Oh, it wasn't the bracelets, but melted down gold, the scarlet, the tapestries that were hanging were made from what they had gotten, and all of the goat's hair they saw had been picked up. Everything they saw. Hey, we're here. We're enjoying the fellowship of God, and we have helped pay for this. We've helped do this with our giving. And the Bible says giving willingly. I love what he says. It says, tell the people to bring an offering and to do it willingly. See, God loves a cheerful giver. And this is not a negative message. This is a very positive message because when you give to the Lord, God outgives you every single time. God outgives us. It'll cost us our time. It'll cost us giving to the Lord of our time and our talents and our money is a good spiritual thermometer of your spiritual surrender. Many Christians fully understand that the tithe, the 10% of your income, belongs to the Lord, but they need to realize that it all belongs to the Lord. You see, what the children of Israel had had been given to them, almost fell there, been given to them by the Egyptians. Here, get out of here. And so they owned it. Now God says, okay, now I want part of it back. Right? God owns everything. Would everybody agree with me? So, hey, God owns everything. He says the tithe belongs to the Lord. Okay, the tithe belongs to the Lord. And then what else? Offerings. Tithe and offerings belong to the Lord. You know, I got to see some missionaries this week that we support that were home on furlough, down a vision. And, you know, the fact that our church has given to them. And tonight I'm going to show a report, a 7-year report from Ben Hamilton. He's been in the Bronx, winning souls for Christ. And he sent a report. They just had their 7th year anniversary. A church we helped start. A church we gave so that souls could be saved in the Bronx. Man, I love it. And you're going to see people from New Yorkers. I didn't even know New Yorkers could get saved. Yeah, kind of like they think about California. But anyway, we're going to get to see it because we made an investment into their lives. When we give to missions and when we give locally, hey, we invest in that because we get to see things that God has done. If you're not giving, you're a consumer. You're just coming in and you're enjoying what others have done and what others have given instead of contributing. And you miss out the blessings. You miss out on the blessings. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. The whole book of Malachi, God was really, it's the last book of the Old Testament, and he's a prophet, but these people were just, they were messed up. They were giving God leftovers. And Malachi chapter 1, he says, verse 6, a son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? And if I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest that despise my name, and you say, wherein have we despised thy name? I don't know that they're really asking that, but God has Malachi ask a rhetorical question. Okay, God says, you're despising my name. And they said, how are we despising your name? Thank you for asking. God says, I'm going to tell you exactly how you're doing it. You offer polluted bread upon mine altar. And you say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And if you offer blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it now unto thy governor. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person, saith the Lord of hosts? You see, God required the best and the first, and he still does. Okay, he still does. Not just talking about money this morning, I'm talking about the heart. Because if God doesn't have your heart, your money is just that. It's just. But when God gets your heart, he'll have your money. He'll have it, and it won't be, you know, your tithe. You know, people that tithe like, you know, $42.35. I want to tell you something tonight. God doesn't have your heart. If you have to round it off to the penny, you know, come on, go ahead and round it up to 45. God, you know, it'll be okay. You'll be okay. You said, I can't afford to. That's the problem. You've got your priorities wrong. You're robbing God, and you got your priorities wrong if you're not giving to the Lord. But here's the thing. He says, how in have we robbed you? He says, you've offered polluted bread. God was supposed to have the showbread was supposed to be made fresh every day, taken to that. They were waiting until it got moldy, and then they took it to the temple. God says, you can't offer anything that's got blemishes. Yet they were bringing the leftovers. They were bringing, okay, I'm looking over all my cows out here. Oh, there's one that's got a bad leg. Give that one to the Lord. He's running into the fence. He's blind. He'll never get anything at the market. I'm going to offer him. That's what they were doing. And he says, and you say, wherein have we robbed God? He says, you've robbed me in tithes and offerings. And so what I'm challenging this morning is, are you a consumer or are you a contributor? Our time, our talents, our money, our time, everything. God wants our heart. And if we're going to give to God, and we're going to be a contributor and a committed contributor and enjoy it, we're going to have to give to God. How about your time? Look at your schedule. Is it full of stuff or is it full of God's stuff? Well, so preacher, I come to church. Check 1 hour a week. I'm glad you come. Sunday, it's the Lord's day. Where's your calendar? How much time do you spend with the Lord daily? How much time do you spend on the things of God? How about your talents? Have you given your talent to God? God gave you a talent. You know what happened when you can give it to God? Something like Mike giving his talent and Debbie giving their talents to the Lord. You know, God gave them a talent. They're giving it back to the Lord and see what God does. Listen, whatever your talent is, have you given it to the Lord? Are you giving God the first of your income? Or are you giving him leftovers? We need to give God the best and the first, but it's a matter of the heart. A surrendered disciple will cost you time, talents, and tithes. Being a surrendered disciple or a committed contributor, fourthly, will cost you first place in your heart. First place. Go back to, fast forward a little bit to Matthew chapter 6. Again, the Sermon on the Mount, he's talking to them about what committed disciples look like in Matthew chapter 5, 6, and 7. And in chapter 6, he discusses the terminal, temporal things and how we should think about them. And in verse 33, he makes a statement that ought to be paramount for the Christian. At the end of chapter 6, he goes all about what we worry about, what we think about, what bothers us, what troubles us, the things of this world. And in verse 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things shall be added unto you. By the way, seeking God first. Think about this, giving God the first. In the building of the tabernacle, the first thing that was built was the ark. the Ark of the Covenant. That was the first thing that was built. You see, God goes inside the tabernacle, and if you look at how the tabernacle, if you did a bird's eye of the tabernacle, here's the Ark. But God goes into the Ark. The very most important thing was first. And then God goes backward. Build this and then build this. The Ark and then the mercy seat and then this and then this and then this. You see, God's just not, it's just not in that order for, oh yeah, that's neat. No, God was telling us the most important thing is first. The fellowship with God is first. I'm building an ark so I can fellowship with you. Where do you fellowship? God fellowshiped at the mercy seat where the blood was shed. God fellowships with us through Jesus Christ today, and He ought to be first in our lives. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. What things? Read chapter 6. The things that we don't put first, or the things that we do put first instead of Him. The things we worry about, food and raiment and things. God says, you got it all mixed up. You put me first, then I'll take care of these things. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All these things. See, Christ wants to have preeminence in our lives. That's number one. Not just be a present, not just be prominent, but He wants first place in our lives. It will cost us some things if we're going to be a committed contributor. Now, let me give you something in closing. How do you know if you're a committed contributor? Number one, there's a supreme love for Jesus Christ. In John chapter number 21, no need to look there, but John chapter 21, after Jesus who rose from the dead, and remember, who was it that denied Jesus? I forget, who was it? Peter, right. And the Lord came to Peter and He said, Peter, do you love me? Peter said, you know, I really like you, Lord. He said, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, come on. You know I really love you, like you. And that's the word, like. Then He said, Peter, do you love me? You know what Peter said? Peter said, Lord, you know everything. That's what the Lord was after. And He said, you know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. You know, I wonder if the Lord came to you this morning and said, Dennis, do you love me? He's asked me. He's asked me that recently. Because, see, we get to where we kind of like the Lord. And if you're committed to the Lord, He gets first place in everything. I tell him the class the other day, admissions class there, I said, there was a time when I was on the field in Africa and I didn't want to see another African. I didn't want to deal with another person. I was just fed up. And the Lord spoke to me through the Word of God in this passage. Do you love me? I said, yeah, Lord, you know I love you. Look, man, I'm on the mission field. Come on, Lord. I'm on the mission field. You know I love you. Dennis, do you really love me? And I was like, yeah, Lord. But when I got under conviction, because, see, I was loving people. I was trying to love people. I was trying to do it in my strength, but I wasn't loving Him. And when I fell back in love with Jesus, hey, I couldn't wait to get out there with those people. I couldn't wait to get back out on the job. You see, here's the thing. Peter, do you love me? If you're going to be committed to the Lord, there's a supreme love for Jesus Christ. Supreme love for Thee. That's why we sing, more love to Thee, O Lord. More love to Thee. Then there's an unquestioning obedience to the commands of Christ. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Okay? Unquestioning obedience. Hey, a love for the Lord. This is how it's played out. Keep my commandments. Which ones? Whatever He speaks to you with. He speaks to us. Then there's a complete submission to His will. Notice Luke chapter 9, and we'll be finished. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And He, Jesus, said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. This is said in some of the other Gospels, but I love how Luke says daily, because I need it daily, right? I need the daily reminder. Then he says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Okay, I like looking up words. The word save means to keep safe and sound. Whoever saves his life, whoever keeps his life safe and sound, will lose it. Destroy it. Waste it. The Lord says, you try to preserve your life, he said, you're going to waste your life. But he says, whosoever will lose his life, you spend your life, you invest your life for my sake, the same shall save it. You see, when you spend your life for the Lord, he says, I'll promise you something. You're going to have your life. But when I preserve my life and keep it back and don't go all the way for the Jesus, don't go all the way for him, then I'm going to waste my life. I'm going to preserve my life. Here's why I'm leaving Bible Fellowship Baptist Church. Because God's told me to. Okay, God has told me to. And I love you people, but I can't keep my life. I've got to spend my life. And I could spend it here if that was God's will, but God doesn't have me to stay here. Amen. And it breaks my heart because I love this church. But I got to do God's will. And so I've got to be able to willing to get on the altar daily and say, Lord, what's left of my life, I'm going to spend it for you. And if you take us to the mission field, then that's fine. I just want to be obedient. I want to stand before the Lord one day and say, Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You did what I told you to do. So what do you want me to do, Lord? I'll let you know. But man, that verse got a hold of me. I don't want to lose my life. I want to lose it for Him. I want to give it for Him. And I want to give it daily to Him. And I'm challenging you today to give it today. Are you a consumer or are you a contributor? Are you just here for what you can get out of it? Are you saying, hey, you know, I'm upset the pastor's leaving. Yeah, let me let you in on something. The pastor's upset that he's leaving too, okay? I love this place, but I have to be obedient to God. And we're going to be obedient as Christians. And this church is going to go on for God, okay? Because it's God's church. It's the Lord's church. And it's going to go on for God. But how's it going to go on for God? It's going to go on for God when everybody gets in on being a contributor, not consumers. So when you come in this place and you see the next man of God that God puts here, God's going to put a man in this pulpit, and we're praying that person in, hey, that you'll say, I helped get that man there, and I'm helping keep him there, and I'm helping those pews to stay there, and I'm helping this because I'm a contributor. I have lost some things for the sake of Christ, and because of it, we gain. We win. We win when we give to the Lord. Father, thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the privilege I have to preach and to teach God's word. Lord, you challenged me through this, and I've just tried to share my heart this morning. And Lord, I thank you for our church, and I thank you for the privilege that I have to be the pastor of this church. And Lord, as we transition, I pray that we'll do it under the power and glory of God. Have your will and way in every life today. Lord, if there's one here today that's not saved, I pray they'll see that to live their life in that state and die is hell forever. Help them to see that. You died for them. You shed your blood. You rose again so that they might be saved. Lord, to Christians today, I pray that we will get off the fence. God, that we'll go all the way with you every day, that we'll lose our life for your sake so that we might win in your economy. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand.